Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast.
We are one church that meets in various locations across Greater Manchester.
For more information about who we are or where we meet,
please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
Tonight we're going to be carrying on with the next part of our series. We've been in this series called A Portrait of Jesus, and we've been going through the book of John, and I have been loving this series because we've been essentially looking at the fundamentals of who God is revealed to us through the person of Jesus. And tonight we are right at the end of Jesus's life on earth. It's the night before he's going to go to the cross, and we're going to look at this very, very deep conversation that Jesus has with his disciples about how he's going to die tomorrow, but he's going to leave his Holy Spirit with them. So we're going to be focusing on the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask, who is the Holy Spirit? Why did Jesus leave us the Holy Spirit? And how do we interact with the Holy Spirit today? So I'm excited to see how the Spirit is going to move amongst us this evening as we learn about him. But before we dive in, I'm just going to pray for us. Yeah, Lord God, I thank you that you're here with us this evening by your Spirit. And I just pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear what it is that you want to speak to us tonight. I just pray that whatever is in the way of us receiving what you want to give to us, Lord, would you just get rid of that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So in this passage that we're going to look at tonight, we are given an extended sort of explanation or a lesson in the work of the Holy Spirit through this deep conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. So like I said, for a bit of context, we're at the night before Jesus's crucifixion. He knows he's going to go to the cross tomorrow, and the disciples are gathered with Jesus in this upper room somewhere in Jerusalem. They've just shared the Passover meal, and now they're talking. And this is what happens. We're going to read from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 31. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I'm going away and I'm coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the Prince of the world is coming. He has no hold over me. But he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me." So this is one heck of a deep conversation. There's a lot going on here and a lot for us to try to unpack and understand. And in the previous chapter, so last week, we were still in this space with Jesus and his disciples in this upper room. And Jesus had just demonstrated his incredible love for the disciples by washing their feet. We touched on this a few weeks ago. Again, the humility of Jesus, the King of the universe and God himself, that he would bend down in front of sinful humans and wash their feet as an act of love and mercy and friendship. And now the first thing we hear Jesus say tonight is, "If you love me, keep my commands." Now, when I first read this, I was a bit surprised, because I guess you could read this and hear a little bit of a sarcastic tone from Jesus. I've definitely said on more than one occasion to my husband, Connor, if you really loved me, you would buy me some flowers once in a while. But this actually isn't the tone that Jesus is taking, surprisingly. He's not trying to set out a trap for them. He is simply telling them how it is. He has just astounded them with his own humility, grace, and love. And now he's saying, don't count yourselves so unworthy compared to me and disqualify yourselves. But actually, in response to what I've done, just follow what I say. Live out these commands. So what were these commands? Firstly, he's just told them to wash one another's feet in the previous chapter. So serve one another above yourselves. Practice humility and love for one another. Secondly, he's commanded them to love one another based on the blueprint that he has laid out for them. So love your neighbour as you love yourself. And then finally, he commands them to put their faith in God and in Jesus himself. So here on Jesus' final evening, it's like he's laying out the most important mandate for his followers. And I can imagine them all sat there, maybe taking notes, maybe scratching their heads a bit, trying to understand and conferring with one another. And I reckon as the weight of all these commandments sort of set in amongst the disciples, they probably got a little bit anxious and thought, well, he's leaving us tomorrow. How are we going to pull this off now without him? What are we going to do once he's gone? And then Jesus says this amazing and crucial thing. He says, and I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper. Jesus recognised that his disciples, both those who were sat there with him that evening and those who would be across the future centuries, that they would need God's presence in order to and his power in order to keep his commands and take the gospel to the ends of the earth. He knew that they weren't going to be able to do it on their own. And he knows that about us here this evening as well. Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit to be able to live out the calling that he's placed on each of our lives. And this word helper used to describe the Spirit is in the Greek is parakletos, and it translates as a few different English words. It essentially means an advocate, so someone who's called in to help someone else in their time of need, or maybe a counsellor, someone who gives wisdom, guidance and comfort when it's needed. And these are the attributes of the Holy Spirit that we're going to focus on tonight. We're going to see that the Holy Spirit is our great comforter, and also that the Holy Spirit is the great truth bringer. My granddad, so my dad's dad, died when he was just 50 years old of lung cancer, so I never actually met him. But my dad has told me loads of stories about him, and one of them kind of stands out to me in particular. And it's the story of how my granddad told his kids that he was going to die. And so my dad was 17 at the time, and he was sat down with all his siblings. His dad had sat them all down around the dinner table. And in a very British sort of matter-of-fact way, he looked them all in the eye and said, I've got a very aggressive form of cancer and I don't have long to live at all. And he told them that they needed to be strong, that they needed to look after their mum, because he wasn't going to be around very much longer. And they were obviously absolutely astounded and grief-stricken. But then he tells them that he's been recording a bunch of tapes, basically, of him talking about what it means to be a Christian living in the modern world, how to follow God, how it feels as well to be a Christian knowing that you're dying soon. And then my granddad then passes away not long after this, and my dad began listening to these tapes that his dad had left him really, really often. It was the one thing that he had left of his dad. And so, as you can imagine, he held on to his every word. And I reckon hearing his voice was a great comfort to my dad in his grief. And he decided that he wanted to live by these words. But eventually, one day, my dad finished listening to the last tape. And then there was silence. There were no more tapes to listen to. No more advice from his dad available to him. And he realised that there was nothing new that his dad could ever say to him ever again. I imagine this must have been a pretty empty and horrible feeling. And this story reminds me a little bit of the passage that we've just read. Jesus gathering his children round the table, family style, to tell them, to look them in the eye and say, look, guys, I'm going to die tomorrow, but here are my instructions. But what's different about Jesus here is that, as we know, those weren't his final words. Jesus gave his disciples the Holy Spirit as a source of comfort so that even after he was gone, we would still be able to hear his voice. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. The Bible tells us that God is three persons in one, the Trinity. So we know, we believe in one God, but in this God are three persons. A person known as God the Father, a person known as God the Son, Jesus, and a person known as God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit means that he is immaterial, so he has no bodily form. But as we know, something doesn't have to have a bodily form for it to be real. The Holy Spirit is real, and the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person who can be honoured. He's a person who can be grieved. The Holy Spirit is the relational aspect of God that fills us and works amongst believers. So when Jesus was no longer physically with his disciples, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with them and to live in them. In verse 15, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as an advocate to help you and to be with you forever, so that this would become a permanent fixture in our lives, not just a temporary thing. So unlike when we're grieving someone, we're coming to terms with the fact that we will never see them again. We're never going to hear from them again. The Holy Spirit is our way of relating with God and staying in communication with God constantly. And for me, this gives me a great source of comfort to know that he is with me all the time. I wonder, when you're in need of comfort, what is it that you want the most? Normally for me, I just want closeness with someone. I don't like being on my own in those moments. I want someone to tell me that everything's going to be okay and I can allow myself just to rest and calm down. I love the fact that Jesus talks here to his children in this passage about peace, because peace is one of the ways by which we can experience the Holy Spirit. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." I don't know if you've ever been in a meeting where suddenly someone says something that brings tension to the room. Someone starts arguing or gets a bit defensive, or they say something very serious, and it's like the room gets very quiet and the stress levels go up. In this meeting with Jesus and his disciples, he has just dropped this absolute bombshell on them that he's going to die tomorrow. And it's like Jesus can almost feel and hear their hearts beating and going into overdrive at the thought of them, of him leaving them on their own. They followed this man for years. They've hung on to his every word, and now he's going to leave them. You can almost see them wringing their hands and their breathing quickening. Jesus then reminds them, "I'm leaving my peace with you. This is available to you whenever you need it. I do not give to you as the world gives." I wonder, when was the last time your heart went into a bit of an overdrive, or your head felt so busy and filled with all the different things that you're worried about? Maybe it was recently, maybe it was even today. Jesus would say to us this evening, like he did to the disciples that evening before he died, "My peace is here for you." He lets us know that his peace is better and bigger than what our best circumstances could ever provide for us. So what is worldly peace for us? For me, it's any peace that I can sort of grab within my own circumstances. So that might be Netflix. It might be trying to book a holiday. It sometimes is having a really nice, clean and tidy house. It's having my circumstances line up really nicely so that I feel content. On a deeper level, for me, it's knowing that I have my circle of people. It's knowing I'm secure in my job. It's having peace and harmony in my relationships and in my family. But the trouble with this kind of peace, as many of us will know, is that it can be shattered at any moment. It is dependent on changeable circumstances. And if you've lived for any amount of time in this world, which you obviously have, you will know that our broken world can be a shocking, brutal and overall difficult place to live. Things get thrown at us, don't they, out of the blue, like my dad losing his dad at 17. We cannot depend on our life circumstances always looking and feeling easy. But Jesus offers us a much better peace. By his Holy Spirit, we have access to our Father all the time, who knows us better than anyone at all. I love this. It says in Psalm 139, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar." That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us, so he knows and is acutely aware of what's going on in our heads at any given moment. He knows when we're anxious. He knows about that work situation that takes over our thinking or that relationship problem that's playing on our minds. He knows when we feel at peace. He knows when an angry thought crosses our mind. He knows all the thoughts that we have in any given day. I take a lot of comfort in knowing this as well, because sometimes our minds can be very dark and confusing places, can't they? But to know that because the Holy Spirit dwells in us means that Jesus is way more aware of our troubles than we even know ourselves. Like most of us, I definitely have struggled and do still struggle with anxiety in my life. And a couple of weeks ago, my head just felt so full. I was in the house on my own and I just started feeling like my head was whirring at a million miles an hour. And for me, when it gets like this, when it gets to this point, it just feels like there's no way of coming back. The front part of my rational brain has switched off and it's hard to think really clearly. And sometimes what works for me in these moments is simply acknowledging, this is where I'm at, okay, I'm here, I'm anxious. And I take a helpful step like walking outside for a bit or switching off to a TV program, even doing some breath work, so counting into 10, holding it and counting back out again. These are all really helpful, practical things. But this time, as I was about to go and switch the TV on, I really felt the Holy Spirit just nudge me and say, come and tell me about it. And so I went upstairs, sat on my bed. I was a little bit tentative because I wasn't 100% sure that I was going to get the peace I wanted in that moment. But I went anyway, and I sat on my bed, and I just imagined that Jesus was sat opposite me on the bed. And at first, I didn't say anything, I didn't do anything else, but just imagined him sat there, aware of me. And I kept that image in my mind. And then eventually I began to just tell him exactly all of the things, one by one, that were running around my head. I brought all of the mess and the anxiety to him. And I asked him for peace. And I can actually say I really began to experience it. I felt as though my heart and my mind suddenly went really still and really quiet. And I felt this deep assurance that all those things that I had just shared with Jesus, that he was going to deal with them. Jesus very famously said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This is a promise that we have from him because he has given us his Holy Spirit. He knew that the pressures of the world, the family dynamics, the pain of trauma, that all of it was going to be way too much for us to handle on our own. So he gave us his Spirit so that we would essentially have our own counsellor, our own friend who knows us better than anyone, who can give us comfort and direction in our lives. The second thing that we learn about the Holy Spirit in this deep conversation that Jesus has is that he is the great truth bringer. There are so many truths out there in our world today, aren't there? We are bombarded by rules to live by, new theories and ideas, different recipes for happiness and success. Orange juice apparently can give you cancer. You must manifest good things in your life if you want to see them happen. We are bombarded by the world with different ideas and truths. And then there are also the truths and narratives that we carry ourselves. I'm sure many of us have had the experience before of being in an argument with someone or a disagreement. And you just come to this point where you realise, do you know what? We just see this thing differently. We have different perspectives on this. We all have our own internal truths and narratives that determine how we see the world. It might depend on your race, your gender, where you come from, your class, your general life experience. Perhaps we might see life through the lens of, I am self-sufficient. I am the master of my own destiny. Or maybe I'm a victim of what's happened in my life, so I don't need to take responsibility. Or I'm never going to be a good enough Christian, so what's the point of trying? There are so many different narratives and truths that we carry. And even though we are overrun with these truths in our world and in our own heads, what the Bible tells us is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Sam Ward spoke brilliantly last week, and he said that Jesus is not just a truth amongst many others. He is the truth and the only way to eternal life. So how do we know this truth? How do we live this truth out? In our passage, Jesus describes the Spirit as the Spirit of truth. He says in verse 26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. What an incredible gift from God. We have access to the wisdom and teaching of God whenever we ask for it. I've recently been very inspired by my friend Gabby, who has said she's happy for me to share this story. And she's been asking the Holy Spirit recently to speak to her through her dreams. And she's been receiving some incredible insight. I've had so many messages from Gabby in the last few weeks with some amazing things that God's been speaking to her. And Gabby told me that before she goes to bed at night, she prays and asks the Holy Spirit to speak to her that night. And she even keeps a notebook and pen next to her bed so that she can write down these dreams that she receives. God is always wanting to speak to us. Even when we're asleep, he's wanting to impart truth to us by his Holy Spirit. And often he'll remind us of truths from his word, the Bible, or sometimes we can even expect to receive insight or a word of knowledge from God about things that we couldn't ordinarily have known. The Holy Spirit is the great truth bringer. And like we can see from Gabby's experience, he is always wanting to speak to us. But sometimes, as a consequence of living in this broken world, the truth of God and the Bible can become warped in our minds, can't it? A few years ago, I got to this point in my faith where every time I tried to read the Bible or pray, I just interpreted judgment in everything I was reading. I did believe that God was the way, the truth, and the life. But it felt as though this grace applied to everyone else and just not me. And I began to try and memorize massive chunks of the Bible so I could sort of earn my way to God's affection. I tried to make sure I got up early enough to impress God in the morning with my sacrifice of sleep, all the while kind of subtly chastising myself every day for not being good enough. The Bible tells us that the truth sets us free. The truth should not bind us up in fear or guilt or shame or legalism. It should set us free. And it makes sense that living in this broken world, sometimes the truth can become warped. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit began to help me to untangle these lies that I had believed about God, this version of God that I had started to believe in, who actually wasn't the truth. I encountered God again by his Holy Spirit. And he revealed to me that his grace was so much bigger than I could understand. But there was so much space for that. He revealed to me how much he loves to show mercy to me, and that because of what he did on the cross, I could be completely free without ifs or buts and no strings attached at all. When the Spirit of truth comes in, our thoughts are redirected towards him. And this doesn't always have to be in massive life-changing moments. It could be in the everyday as well. We can expect that the Holy Spirit, the great truth bringer, will shine a light on our thinking to show us the way that we should see certain situations in our everyday lives. I've had countless moments where I've had thoughts or I've believed that I've been totally justified in my judgment of someone else. Or I've been viewing a certain situation through a certain lens of truth that actually didn't line up with God's truth. And I felt the Holy Spirit just nudge me and gently say, I know you think the truth's over here, but actually it's over here. In 1 Corinthians 2, it says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. I find this verse absolutely mind-boggling. Not only has God laid out the truth in his word for us to read and understand, but he has given us the Holy Spirit to help our human and broken minds to understand it. When the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and into our minds, by his grace, we are able to understand our place with God. What he's done on the cross for us, and just how much he loves us. Stuff that humanly, in our legalistic ways, we cannot understand, but by the Holy Spirit, it is possible. So I wonder where all of us here this evening are at. Perhaps you're in need of comfort, like we were talking about earlier, or maybe it's peace, or perhaps you need redirection towards the truth. I think the Holy Spirit wants to draw us towards life and peace and fullness in God and away from fear, guilt, and legalism and striving. God paid the highest possible price for us in giving away his only son to become the only adequate sin offering for our sin. So we now have access to God by the Holy Spirit. Why would we waste this gift? Why would we not put a notebook next to our bed and ask the Holy Spirit to speak? Why would we not invite the Holy Spirit into that conversation that we're worried about on Monday? Or why would we not invite him into our anxieties and our fears? He is available to us all the time. And more than that, he lives within us.
Thanks for listening.
To explore this sermon or learn more about our church, please navigate to the links provided in this podcast description.
From there, you can connect with us on social media. And you're welcome to check out the music links featured in this episode from our very own musicians.
You can also discover current events and information about where we meet on Sundays and various groups or community projects that you can join in with.
If you're interested in knowing more about us or wish to join us for one of our meetings, please reach out.
Simply drop us an email at hello@ccm.org.uk.
We look forward to connecting with you.